Well, I appreciate your prayers tonight. Need the Lord to help us. I'm thinking tonight about the sense of urgency. I notice and come out here quite often into Oklahoma, out in the Midwest, Missouri. Especially in the springtime, there's always excitement gets stirred up around here. And there'll be storms coming. And I'll listen to the radio and it'll give a forecast days in advance, saying that all of the situations are going to be right for major storms. And they tell you, stay tuned. You listen. You be aware that this particular day is going to be exactly right to have these terrible storms come through. They may or may not happen, but the situations are right. And I noticed different times that day would come and it would start building up and the broadcast would become more urgent to tell people they got one coming. Then they get specific a lot of times and say, they start naming names. They start naming Guthrie. And they start naming allying towns, different ones. And then it becomes at some point, it becomes warning. Keep watching, paying attention. And then I notice a lot of times they'll say there's one on the ground. Now it's time to be real urgent. Take cover. Listen to this. This is serious, is what they're trying to say. It's not to play around with. And I know people do. And to be honest with you, I'm one of those people that have a tendency to just want to hang on and see as long as I can. See what's going on. I'm the kind of guy that says, can't happen to me. Those kind of things. But I want to talk tonight about something that is very real. Just as real as any of this. And it has to do with the urgency of our souls. And not just the fact, it is a fact, but not only the fact that our lives can end instantly. That's a fact. But it's not only the idea that Jesus is going to come back or that my life is instantly taken. But it's the idea that I miss the opportunity. Because I really believe that life is full of the opportunities for us to accomplish and do things. And there's a sense of urgency a lot of times. And I believe people can have the possibility of being saved and taking care of things in their life and miss that opportunity. The scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55 and 6. And what it's saying is, the given there is that he isn't always to be found. He isn't always near. You don't always feel the way you may feel when God deals with your heart and deals with your soul. The time to deal with the things of God is when God's dealing with you. When you recognize that there's a place that needs took care of, that's the time to feel the sense of urgency. Lord, help us tonight that we wouldn't put off to tomorrow, the things that we need to take care of today. I have another little habit in my life. It's been there for a long time. And a lot of times when I'll finally break down and fix something that's broke, a door that won't latch, and I will go weeks, sometimes months, and actually sometimes years, being annoyed by something that don't work right. And then it'll come to me, Well, why don't you fix it? I'm tired of this not working for 2 years. So I get my tools, and in about 2 minutes, oh, it wasn't what I had in my mind. I thought that was going to be complicated. It was just something jammed. I get in and I fix it in a 2-minute project that I put up with all this for so long. But Lord, help us tonight to have a sense of urgency about our lives. So turn with me, if you will, over to, I believe it's a familiar scripture to us, over in Acts, 24th chapter of Acts, 24th verse. It says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." Now, if you read on in this, down to 26th verse, you'll find out that Felix had a motive. He wanted money. That was Felix's, really, his motive. But you know what I found out about the Lord? You know, God has done wonderful things when people's motives was totally wrong. Brother Michael Wilson told us not long ago in a meeting, it may have been here, I don't remember where it was at, but he told us, he said, he went to the altar because he had been a bad boy and there was some pressure coming on him. So to get the pressure off of him, he was going to go to the altar and make that move of, people forgiving him. So he made the move there. And he had no intentions at all in his mind when he went to that altar. He said he was just putting the hounds off so they wouldn't be chasing after him. And he went to the altar to try to do that. But when he went down there, God started dealing with him. His intentions was totally wrong. But when he went down there, God started dealing with him. Paul was on the road to Damascus to go to persecute the church. He didn't have none in his mind on becoming what he was a persecuting, but God had another mind for him when he got there, and he changed that whole thing. Now, here's Felix. Felix had in mind he was going to listen to Paul, and Paul was a prisoner, and Felix had the ability to be able to set him free or to do something for him. So he thought, well, get Paul in here, and we'll get a little bit of money out of him. Felix got more than he bargained for. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Do you know that's a big mistake? Because there's no way of knowing that you'll ever tremble again. He stood before Paul's preaching. I think it blindsided him. But he had some understanding of things. And God began to work with his heart. And he started to condemn him of a life of sin. He started trembling because of the judgment that was weighed upon his heart. He trembled at God, the Holy Ghost. Through Paul's words was piercing his heart. And he felt that. And he trembled. They were so powerful to him that he trembled. But instead of saying, "What must I do to be saved?" he said, "Go thy way. Go thy way for a season. Go thy way for a time." Tonight, I believe, and I believe there's some scriptures that will help prove this, I believe that God has this space of time in people's lives. There is a time that even judgment may be pronounced, but there is a space of time there for us to be able to do business with God. Felix had this space of time laid at his lap. He got the privilege of listening to God through the mouth of Paul to convict his heart. What a privilege. And yet when he come to that space, Felix, this is your moment. This is your moment. This is your time. Perhaps, maybe, God is dealing with souls here, and perhaps this is your moment. This isn't a time to say, I'm going to put this off and I'll call for you later to come and bring the same kind of conviction when I get my life in a certain order, when it's convenient for me. Folks, it isn't about being convenient for us. It's about us getting our eternal salvation, squaring away with God, getting our hearts right with God. And there's a moment in time given to Felix. This is your time. And he says, go your way. I'm looking to do that. I'm going to consider what you said. I'm going to weigh this thing all out. I'm going to do all this. And then when I have a convenient time, when I get things right in my life, folks, there's a time to be urgent. There's a time to be serious. Little sports analogy. When they're down a run in the bottom of the ninth, that's time to be urgent. Understand what I'm saying? If you're going to win, there's an urgency about this. We're behind. The team that is behind in the fourth quarter with the clock ticking down, that's a time to be, it is a time to be, well, we'll catch up sometime. No, this is a time to be urgent. Folks, do you sense any sense of urgency in our world today? I believe it's a time to be urgent and have a sense of urgency about what's going on around us. If we have, I'm going to tell you, if you feel, if you've got the capability to feel conviction tonight, you're blessed. Because there's a lot of people in the world can't feel it. There's a lot of people can't feel God's working in their life. And if you can feel that tonight, if you can feel, I know it's an awful feeling to feel guilt. But can I tell you something tonight? You're blessed if you do. You're blessed if you can still feel enough to feel I'm not right. So it's not, folks, don't put off to a more convenient time, because life has taught us there is no more convenient time. That's a lie. That's a lie that says somewhere off there'll be a time that's more convenient for my life. Maybe I can be financially better off and I can live for the Lord better. Maybe I can get some things took care of in my life and then I can live for the Lord better. A more convenient time may never happen for your life. But a sense of urgency is what we need to feel in this time. All right, another scripture we'll look at in Matthew. Third chapter of Matthew. This is talking about the baptism of John. John was baptizing, and in the seventh verse it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now before we go on, I believe a point be made here that these Pharisees and Sadducees probably did not come to the baptism of John to be baptized. They probably came to see what the commotion was and what was going on, the fame that went out about John the Baptist, to come and hear his words, those kind of things. It's probably why they come. But they got more than that when they got there. I believe something was working there in them. And John, and if you get the character of John, he was a straightforward type fellow. Jesus said of him himself, what'd you come to see? A reed shaking in the wind? What do you think? No reed shaking in the wind here. John's a solid. With John, you get what you get here. John put it right to him. Oh, generation of vipers, he said. And they were of the mindset that we are the children of God. We are God's people. And therefore, God is not going to get rid of us, because if he did, he wouldn't have the people. So that's why John responded the way he did and said that God can raise up of these stones children to Abraham. You think that you're so in the place that God's going to be right there with you. But I want to tell you, God can raise up of these stones. You're talking about the Gentile nation. You're not what you think you are. See, but you have a time. You have a time. God has extended to you the same kind of grace and mercy that He's extended to everybody. And you have a space of time that you can be altered, and that you can be changed, and that you can find the truth of God in your life. But you need to have a sense of urgency, O generation of vipers. There's a warning coming to you, see. You know there's a warning that's in Amos, I believe it is, that says, woe unto Zion. Woe unto Zion. For those that are asleep, those that are at peace in Zion, those that seem like everything's going to, we're the people of God. Woe! There's a sense of urgency. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for what He's done. But I can see a sense of urgency in my own soul. Lord, help me to be true. Help me to make it. I'm desperate. It's urgent. Clock's winding. Clock's winding. So He says here of these, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, just who you are, who you've born, where you go to service, who you sat under, who preaches to you, isn't enough. You got fruit in your life. You got that personal experience with Christ. You know that you're saved. Because you can say, as He said here, it's more than being a child of Abraham. It's more than being of the lineage, a Jew, a Hebrew. It's more than that. It's more than saying, I've got Abraham. You need fruit in your life. Because that's the only thing that's going to be accepted. And you better be urgent about that fruit. Oh, I'm doing fine. You better be urgent about that. Because the Bible teaches us that the kingdom suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. It's a pressing way. You're going to have to press myself in. I'm going to be urgent about this. And now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. The axe isn't for the limbs. You know, when you prune a tree, you prune it to shape it. You prune it so the fruit will be fuller. You do all that. But that's not what this allusion is. That's not what He's alluding to. Because it ain't for the branches. He said, the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. The analogy is this. A woodsman comes along with his axe. He comes up to the trees that are designed to be cut. It's already, they're going to be cut. Unless something happens, the tree's coming down. And the woodsman comes up with his axe, and he lays his axe down so that he can remove his coat. This is the analogy. And then he's going to pick the axe up, and he's going to cut it down. And the analogy is that space of time between when the axe is laid at the root of the tree, symbolizing this tree's coming down momentarily. In that period of time that he's removing his coat, getting ready for the work, is where we're at. That's what this is about. He's saying to them how quickly you will fall. How quickly you're going to be cut off. How quickly this thing can all be over for you. Another scripture says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. If it falls to the north, it shall forever lie to the north. Or to the south, it shall forever lie to the south. And now here's the woodsman with his axe, or ready for his axe. And we have a time period here. Folks, no matter where you're at tonight, there's a time. There's a little time. This illustration seems to pop up in the scripture quite often until judgment has been laid. The axe is laid there as a symbol of what's about to happen, but it ain't happened yet. But there's a small space for us to deal with. If Jesus was to come back tonight, are you satisfied? That's a simple enough question. If Jesus was to come for you tonight, are you satisfied and can say, come quickly, Lord Jesus? If not, you ought to be real urgent tonight about your soul. You ought to be in a place because the axe is laid in a lot of different symbolic ways we can look at this. For one thing, we're mortal. We're all coming down eventually. In one way or another. So we can look at it that way. Or we can look at it, and I think this is an accurate way of looking at it. I think the axe has been laid to the root of this United States. I don't think the Lord's pleased with the way we're doing it. I believe that the sins and the awfulness, the awful aroma of this life, of our country, is going up before the Lord. I don't think he's pleased. I know he's not pleased with all the abortions. You know, folks, that's so animalistic. Animals don't even do it in most senses. Won't kill its own offspring. And we as humans, that's created in the image of God, that are supposed to be high above all of that, in the image of God, we were created. And we brought ourselves down lower than animals. I think the axe is laid, but it ain't been swung yet. The woodsman is in the process of removing it. Soon, folks, soon. Because this scripture says that the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Paul, trees. Many trees. And it's laid to the... You know, there is still, and no matter what God would do to this nation, do you know what? God individually will spare anybody that will repent. That's what this is about. John was actually talking to the Pharisees and scribes saying, repent! Repent! Your Abraham status isn't good enough. Your Church of God status, in one sense, is good enough because true Church of God. But just being here doesn't make it. Just being born and having parents to it, don't do it. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. The trees. This nation, I believe, is in a soured place before God. I believe that. I think it was a space of time. Many people look and say, oh, I fear this, fear that. I fear that what might happen in the country. There could be, some people are predicting an economic crash so severe that it's going to really... I don't doubt it. But that ain't what I fear. Because I'm not sure how God's going to do it. But when it's done, it's going to be God doing it. And you know, I don't care what kind of economist there is out there, or military might to keep the enemy off, or whatever. When God pulls the thing out from under it, what are you going to do? And the axe is laid at the root of the tree. The trees, you may say. I pray that there would be a repentance of it all. Oh, this alternative lifestyle. I don't hate anyone. I love all people. But it's wrong, folks. And God isn't smiling upon it. And there will be consequences of these actions. And we can look and say, oh, what could happen? I'm going to tell you. You can find this in the scriptures. What was happening at this time? God actually used the Romans as the axe. What he's referring to here. The Romans was the axe that he laid at the root of the trees. And he gave them a space of time. And even from this time, this went on. The woodsman taking his jacket off and getting the axe actually happened. And the whole process was probably about 90 years. But there come a point till the woodsman got the axe in his hand and everything that was predicted happened. And there was an old nation of people that had to suffer the consequences. Oh, generation of vipers, he said. You're not going to be spared because you come in the lineage of Abraham. Bear fruit unto God. And God has spared you. And it's the same today. And I want to personalize it because that's where it's at. We can't save the nation. I can't change the motions of the world. Neither can you. But I'm responsible for somebody. And he's standing here tonight. I'm responsible for the urgency of my own soul. And as I look at these things around there, my number one thought is, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to see the urgency of my time and to be able to be faithful in my time. God has chosen me for this time. I want to be faithful for that time and see the urgency that there is there. Because many are being pulled away, swiped away, taken by the world, by the things that are happening. Many people are allowing, they don't see the urgency of the storm that's brewing. Pray God would help you see the urgency of the storm. You say, I ain't near as bad as all the things that you mentioned. Do you know what? That's not the way he divided it. That you just wasn't as bad. He says to them that now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit. Now see, got it down into, I'm not going to deal with this in one big collective thing. You know, there was many, many Jewish people that found salvation. There was many of these. And when the time came in 70 AD that Titus surrounded the Jerusalem, Josephus says that the Christians all left. That was a historian that hardly was on Christianity's side, just given the actual accounts. And when it was all sieged up, as Jesus predicted it would be, the Christians had already left the city because they is bearing fruit to God. And God knows how to spare his people. They were urgent for their own souls and bore fruit to God. And God delivered them from that scene. And God will deliver and be faithful to us. But to every one that beareth not fruit, his trees cut down. He bringeth not fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And cast into the fire. Folks, it's urgent tonight. There's a sense of urgency that's hanging over us for our souls. Get ready. Stay ready. Be ready. How is that you say it, Brother Carl? Be ready. Get ready. Stay ready. Be urgent. Daily urgent. You know what you need when you need to take care of the problems of your life? Now. Now, when they come up. I ain't saying this is a matter of all the victory you can have, but it sure helps to be able to, when you say something you shouldn't say, you say it and then you say, oops, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't say that right. How quickly can I get to taking care of it? That's how quickly I want to get to taking care of it. Just as quickly as I can take care of it. We was having a meeting, I don't mind saying this, we was having a meeting one time and I got a little zealous. Brother Larry, he preached this message. Boy, at the end of that message, I was so fired up. I stood up and was exhorting and got ahead of myself. And I ended up saying about prayer and then me praying, and I told the congregation, there's a reason why people ain't praying out in church, it's because you ain't praying at home. And I just kept on talking. Well, on the way home, my wife says, honey, do you know what you said? What? She told me what I said, and I said, yeah, I said that, didn't I? Yeah, you said that. And she said, and you oughtn't said it. Well, you know what? That's true. I shouldn't have said it because there ain't no way to me knowing how people's praying. And God didn't tell me how they was praying, so to be honest with you, I really misspoke. Well, I said, boy, I'm going to have to take care of this. And it really bothered me. So I called Brother Jim and said, Brother Jim, I said, my wife told me what said. And yeah, Brother Marty, he said, I've already got a bunch of phone calls on that. Yeah. Oh, no. I said, you know what? I done it publicly. I'm going to do it publicly right. But then I got to thinking, it's just too long. I can't endure it that long to wait till public. I'm going to personally do every one of them, personally. I called everybody personally and said, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got everybody in the congregation personally and said, I'm sorry, that was a bad, I did wrong. I misspoke. That's wrong. I'm sorry for it. You know what? Lord bless me. I want it out from under that. This is too urgent. I don't want to be having things like, you know, after a while I might have been convinced, you know what? It wasn't so bad. It wasn't a bad thing. They need to grow up and deal with it. Well, the first one I called said, yeah. Said, I wondered about it. I wondered about you when you said that. Well, I'm sorry. Well, you're forgiven. Next one I called said, yeah, said, I was hurt over it. I was hurt over it. But you're forgiven. You know, it kept coming right down till finally I said to one of them, I'm sorry. And he said, well, to be honest with you, Brother Marty, I wasn't listening to you. I'm sorry, but I wasn't listening to you. I said, well, I wish I hadn't called you. I don't need to apologize here. And right down to the last one I called, and I said, Brother, I'm sorry. And you know what he told me? Well, you needn't be for me. Because that really caught me. It was true. I haven't been really praying like I should, and I really heard that. And I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, you know what? No, I done it right. I took care of it. It was urgent to me. It was urgent to me inside. And I needed to take care of it. So I took care of it. And there's a space, folks. You understand what I'm saying? There's a space between the time that the woodsman lays the axe down there that judgment is pending. There's a place and time to take care of that. Do you know there wasn't a one of them that I called that hadn't humbled? As I humbled before, they humbled to me too. And accepted it and said, your old Brother Marty, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. It was all taken care of. And there was a space of time there that was allowed for me to take care of. And I think that works. I think there is a judgment also that's there. And I think that God pronounces on every wrong. Isn't there a judgment? Is everything that's wrong has a judgment laid upon it? The best time to take care of it, whatever there is. And it can be a great, I mean, it's as wide and big as there is people here. You may have some bitterness in your life. If you do, I want to encourage you to take that space of time and take care of it. Take care of that. There may be things in your life that's hurt you for a long, long time that you've seen about yourself. You may have a bad temper. And it may overcome you at times. I deal with a lot of people like that. I know what I'm talking about. Those things are real. It's time to take care of those kind of things. A space of time given. Lord help us. We'll look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. Over in the 8th chapter of Amos. It says in the first verse, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. All right? An illustration. Amos, what do you see? You see a basket of summer fruit. You know what summer fruit is? It's good ripe fruit. That's what it is. Now, if you're going to do something with summer fruit, you better get at it. It's where it starts getting mushy. You know what I'm saying? It's right there at that point that it's still good. But fruit just ripening has us, and it's an illustration just like the axe laid there. There's a space of time. It's not long. But there's a space of time. That fruit is ripe enough to eat. And then there's a space of time that it's just right. And then there's a time that it gets You better eat it quick. Now, I don't like green bananas. I like them ripe. But I noticed something about bananas. From the time they get ripe until the time they're black, ain't very long. So when I go to the store, I'll generally buy green bananas. That's not the summer fruit. That's good green. And then I'll eat them as they get ripe. But I notice one thing, if we waste anything in our house, which we don't try to waste, but if we waste anything, it's bananas. And the reason is that the space of time allowed for that space is so small with them if you leave them out to ripen. And all of a sudden you come and they're in hours sometimes, they've crossed that threshold of what's really good, what I would use, and what I would throw away. That's what God is dealing with here with this idea of summer fruit. Amos, what do you see? I'm giving you an analogy here of where my people are in my eyes. My people in my eyes are right at the verge of me throwing them out. I can't use them anymore. Oh, it's close. It's close. They need to know this. If they don't repent quickly, if they don't change quickly, if they don't alter their life quickly, there won't be no change into them. Folks, I believe that this plays true in life. I believe that there's times in people's life that the Lord works with their life knowing. I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen couples that God dealt with unto salvation. And they did not make that step, and within months their marriage was completely shipwrecked. And I looked and said, God was having mercy. God was dealing, giving a space of time to spare them and save them, not only for their present life, but they was going to go on into things that would probably ruin their opportunity to be saved in their life. Lost in a moment of time when it got to that place and the Lord dealt. He said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree and you've got a time, a small space of time to alter the course of your life. You could go on and you'll see all that the world has to destroy your life with. Well, right here at this moment of time, you can make a change and live saved. Alter the course of your life. Young people, many, many young people come up to that time. They've been under mom and dad, chopping at the bit, ready to pull, ready to go their own thing, being begged not to, Holy Ghost saying not to, devil saying do, world pulling. There's a time and opportunity and a space of longing and wanting and desiring of what life may hold. But right there is a time, an urgency. Lord, help us to pray. To pray with urgency. Lord, have mercy on our young people. Because I noticed one thing, I'm 52 years old, been around the saints a good long time now. And I've seen a lot of you all grow up, and you're not young people anymore. I've seen you when you are young people. And now you're up there and you're pulling your luck, doing your things, making your decision. Some of you younger ones look at them and think they're old, but I remember when they were young people. I remember when you all were young people. And it keeps going. Next year there'll be another group of young people come up to that decision too. And another, and another. And many are altered right there at that time of decision. Lord, help us to have that sense of urgency. It may not seem like it to you young people because you seem invincible at times. But I'm going to tell you, a decision you make right now in your life will follow you all your life. For good or for bad, many times it's where the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Right there is the time that the thing really took to the wrong thing. Many times God does work and deal, and I'm glad that He does. But in the course of what looking at people's life, we see the course that many never ever find their way back. Lord, have mercy. Amos, what are you looking at? I'm looking at a basket of fruit. And if we're going to can it, preserve it, keep it, or if we're just going to eat it. Whatever we're going to get good out of this, oh, you better do it. You better do it. Because the Lord, in my mind, is my mind's eye, I see this scripture as they're coming up time. And I've dealt with a lot of fruit and seen things. And the one thing I don't like to do is deal with fruit to where I'm taking. My neighbor gave us some peaches. And those peaches were good and ripe. And boy, were they tasty. Right off the tree. Well, he picked them off the ground, too. They were falling and picking. And when he gave them that bucket of peaches, I said, boy, these are nice. But one thing about them, you better hurry. And I take you, we had eaten, they was good, but by the next day, the bruisings had started, the process had started, and you take out, you try, you cut away the bad part, cut away, and finally after you cut this away, and you cut this away, you take the seed away, and you got a little strip like that, and you eat, and it there it goes, and it's all, and after a while, you look at all the rest of it and say, I say to my son, Darius, come and get the bucket. Well, Dad, we want, it's no good. Go dump it over the fence because there's nothing useful anymore. How many lives has the Lord wanted to work with, gave opportunity and space of time of repentance, space of time to alter? The urgency wasn't there in the old devil's lie of, I've got tomorrow. Listen, folks, you may have many tomorrows. But it don't mean that you'll have the mind and will. Now listen to me. I know this is right. You don't dictate your thoughts like you think you do. You may never feel like serving the Lord again. And if you don't, how are you going to do it? What are you going to do if you don't have a desire for it? And if you don't have a desire for it, what are you going to do? But the sense of urgency tonight, I pray that God would give us all a sense of urgency to where we would realize, tonight's my night. I want to be able to lay down tonight and say, it's all well with my soul. I want to be able to say that I owe none of you anything. I have nothing in my heart against any person. I have nothing to make right. None of this. I've done it. I've cleared it. No matter what the storms or what happens in life, that I look at the old woodsman with his axe ready to cut down, but my tree that used to be marked for cutting down, the Lord comes and takes that mark away and he says, leave this one alone. This one ain't for destruction anymore. This one's got fruit. Don't bother this one. All these others that's marked, cut them down. Cut them down. There will be a space of time, I think, for all of us. I think that I can predict God isn't pleased with this nation. And unless we repent, unless there's a major repentance, you hang on, folks. Hang on. And what God does, no man can resist. And I pray, God, that I'd be in the right place with the Lord, no matter what happens to the wilderness. Lord, help us to be true and faithful. You pray for me.